Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Sterling Holmes hanging out with us. Kyle Collier heading up until 2 o'clock. Matt Derrick is with us. Chiefs Digest 41 is the Mike podcast. The Chiefs, you know, they still have a draft pick tonight. They don't have two anymore, but they do have a draft pick. They may have two because they didn't have to use an extra pick. They just, you know, switched picks, exchanged picks, swapped picks, and moved back in the draft for the ability to move up for Xavier Worthy. I want to hear from Andy Reid because I enjoyed this last night from Andy Reid. This is the opening statement from Andy Reid, and there's a specific part in here. It's about 45 seconds, but there's a specific part in here that I cackled last night while listening to the draft show last night, which was great, with Seren Petro, courtesy of Mark Boerichter. They killed it last night. It was awesome. And I loved the breakdown of the Xavier Worthy. You know, it wasn't a here's the trade, everything's rainbows and sunshines. No, here's the analysis. Here's what could happen. Here's the downside to this. Here's, you know, all sides. And that's what you want from, you know, the immediate reaction is, oh, here's what's everything that's great. Yeah, that's easy to do. But, okay, what did it cost? How good can he be? What are the expectations, et cetera? Was there somebody else there that you would have liked to see? But last night was a fun show. But here's Andy Reid's opening statement talking about the pick of Xavier Worthy.
We picked Xavier Worthy from Texas, wide receiver. We're glad to have him on board. We think he's a heck of a football player, number one. He does a few different things. He's a good wide receiver and also a good special teams returner, and he'll end up doing both to start things off with. So, and he'll just work into that rotation when we get him, the wide receiver rotation, and with Hollywood and Rasheed and Kels and, you know, the other folks. So it should give Pat another weapon there which to use.
So I cackled last night. Kyle, can you play like the last 15 seconds of that again? So when he starts to say how he fits in the wide receiver room, if you could play that clip, and you'll hear last night, I'll try to recreate my cackle last night when I heard that.
That rotation when we get him, the wide receiver rotation, and with Hollywood and Rasheed and Kels and, you know, the other folks.
Should give Pat another
weapon there which to use.
That's when we get him in with Hollywood, Rasheed, Kels, and the other folks that are in the wide receiver room. If that tells you anything, all of the polishing the turd, and trying to push Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore uphill this boulder, that tells you all you need to know of how they actually view the wide receiver room with those guys. When we get him in here with Hollywood, Rasheed, Kels, and the other folks.
And
I lost it last night.
And Reid did say later that he didn't want to slide anybody.
I know he didn't. I don't want to slide anybody later on. Yeah, but
by that point,
that was the opening statement.
The work was already done.
That was the opening statement.
I think you said something like wide receiver three earlier, and my thought was, oh, yeah, no, he is. Like, without a doubt. I looked at Jason, and Jason gave me a wink. Like, yeah, we know what we're talking about.
Justin Watson is a glue guy, folks. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No, that's wide receiver four.
When you said wide receiver, and then Sterling looked at me, and I gave him the wink because we listened to that clip before the show, and I was like, oh, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Because last night I lost it when I heard this. One of the things I want to play with Matt Derrick is just the.
Oh, right.
Other folks.
Over under right now, who has more snaps at receiver, Justin Watson or Xavier Worthy?
Well, I get the question because they are some. Look, Justin Watson, for some reason, is like one of the coach's first loves in high school that you just can't quit. I mean, just like there's something about it just always going to have you returning there. I don't know. I'm going to say Xavier Worthy because they traded up for him and what he brings to the table. I know they like what Justin Watson did. They like the fact that he's always in the right spot and he's willing to block. Okay,
he's solid, man. Don't bring down Justin.
He's solid.
He knows the entire
right.
playbook.
He's always that's the compliment to him is that he's always in the right spot.
Dude's got three rings.
He has three different rings. And there is a value to Justin Watson, what he brings to the table. But I'm still going to go knee-jerk initial reaction of Xavier Worthy. And God, I really hope it's Xavier Worthy, or we will be having a different discussion about this moving up in the draft to grab Xavier Worthy if Justin Watson is getting more snaps when you've already got Hollywood and Rashee Rice.
Remember, he's probably never going to play the first snap of an offensive drive after he returns the kick, so...
I know. That, by the way, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the return game with Xavier Worthy.
We're really just finding all sorts of ways that he can replace Kadarius Toney, aren't we?
Well, that's part of it, yes. But the way that I want to look at it is it's twofold to me. It's the yin and the yang. You draft Xavier Worthy because of what he does for your offense, the speed, and then Andy Reid talking about the return game and what he can do there and the difference he can make in those hidden yards. Right, that's all part of his game of what he does. Flip side is, well, you know, he's slight of build, he's smaller, you know, you want to make sure he doesn't get injured, so you're going to play him on special teams and increase the risk of injury. So that's where the yin and the yang comes in of what's the value in the return game. And we don't know that in the kickoff return game yet because we haven't seen it. We know there is value there where there has never been before, even when they were returning it at a higher clip than they have the last few years. There's going to be a bigger value because everyone is going to be incentivized to be returned. And we don't know what that wall of blockers is going to look like. So there is that value there. But like punt returns and things like that, do we want to have him out there and exposed to more injury at risk when you moved up to get him in the first round? You know, this isn't you give up a third rounder for Kadarius Toney. You gave up the equivalent of you gave up a third rounder, got a fourth rounder back, and move it up to grab this guy.
I just want to give some context here of what he has done in the background.
Please.
I want Matt to answer that question, but he has taken two kick returns in his career. That was or his college career. That was his freshman year. Again,
to the house. He hasn't 60, just returned
33 yards total on kick returns.
So he's only had two kick returns in his entire college career?
Yes. And then punt returns, though.
Yeah, punt is.
Punt returns, he's
had 40. All-American.
He's had 40.
Yeah.
He had 22 last year, and he averaged 16.9 yards per punt return. He did have one to the house. I don't have how long that one was. He had 371 yards total, but his freshman year, he had three punt returns for 47 yards. And then his sophomore year, he had 15 returns for 146, still just under 10 yards per return. That's still pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
You're taking that. So he is a very electric return man as a punt returner. But I will say, again, kick return, he's not done a lot of. But with the new kick return in the NFL, our thought process is this is almost more like a punt return or more like even a run play even. And he has taken the ball out of the backfield a few times in college. Not a lot. Only seven carries technically. That can also be labeled as an end around, right, if you're getting handed the ball behind.
Right.
So I don't have that in front of me, but he has at least accredited with seven carries in his NFL career or his collegiate career.
Yeah. So, Matt, is the juice worth the squeeze? You've got the all-juice team shirt on. Is the juice worth the squeeze for Kadarius Toney in the punt return game while exposing him to greater risk of injury?
For Xavier Worthy.
For Xavier Worthy. What did I say?
Kadarius Toney.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I was there for you.
No, it's Kadarius Toney, the injuries, whatever. You know, but obviously, Xavier Worthy, is it worth him being back there as a punt returner and risking injury?
I mean, I'm going to sound a little bit like Sterling here and saying two things at the same time. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm just giving you a hard time. And
do you want to throw hands?
And now I'm really, really going to end up with this somewhere at some point coming back to haunt me. But
you probably.
I'm worried about him getting hurt. But at the same time, it's what he's good at and it's what he can do. And it's what he can do to contribute immediately. I mean, I see him probably utilization-wise maybe being used a lot like Tyreek Hill was as a rookie. I mean, once again, avoiding the comparisons, but it's hard not to make the same kind of thoughts. I mean, I don't think they're going to probably line him up in the backfield like they did with Tyreek and run traps or anything of that nature. But I mean, as far as, you know, using him in the jet sweep game, using him on the orbits, yeah, I can see mm-hmm. that. But why wouldn't you use him as a punt returner? If he can catch the football, yeah. I mean, that's going to be rule number one. I mean, secure the football. And honestly, I mean, teams, I mean, the Chiefs, I think, even with super aggressive Dave Tobe, going to return fewer punts than you used to, even when Tyreek was returning punts. So, you know, if he's going to return mm-hmm. a punt, you want him because he's got some room to do it, not because he's going to get clobbered immediately. So there's got to be some judgment there. But and you're right. I mean, with kick returns, it's a different game, different speed as far as the players now, so it should be, in theory, a little bit less of an injury. And, of course, he's going to be pitching the ball to Luis Rezaman at the end of every
That's
return.
Exactly right, yeah. So, an underhand pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And a rugby pass that
pitching
takes place.
Pitching the rugby to a ball, so.
God, one time, one time, Rezaman is going to be running, and he's just going to drop the ball and try to kick it ahead. Like 15 yards. He's one time that's going to be like, oh, sorry about that, guys. My bad. Yes, illegal kicking. I get it. We're back here. Won't happen again. My fault.
My bad.
The Chiefs are about to
it was one hell of a touch kick, though, right? I mean, you saw him breaking free for 15 yards. We had it. That was
drop kicks.
Yes, that's right.
It'll be the drop kick, extra point.
I got in there. That was a try. I mean, I slid in there, I touched the ball to the ground, and I was good.
The Chiefs might be the first team to have a musical number as their opening kickoff music. You know, you went from Rock and Roll Part 2 to now they have whatever they have now, and now it's going to be Grease Lightning.
Yeah, that's right.
That might be the first time in NFL history where it's a musical. I don't know if that's actually true or not. I'm just spitballing.
Could
here.
Be. Who knows?
I doubt many musicals are being thrown around for opening kickoffs, but...
Probably. I would doubt that. It will be odd if they, you know, both sides line up across from each other and is like the, you know, the West Side Story and they just stand there and they snap. So they're getting ready to kick off.
Both managed to start snapping at the same time was very impressive. You two have spent too much time together already.
Clearly.
I'm a drummer. I can tell what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
I know what he's going to do before he does it.
My view on the punt return is... Yeah, I'm worried about the injury, certainly, but I don't think I can play my game worried about the injury. I'm worried about Patrick Mahomes getting injured.
Yeah,
but I want Patrick Mahomes out there every single time taking the snap. If you're drafting Xavier Worthy to be the guy that can create mismatches on offense, maybe for himself, maybe for Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and Hollywood Brown, etc., and one of the things that he brings to the table is his playmaking ability as a punt returner, and he will catch the ball... Then I don't see why you would not take him off the punt return game because you're scared of him getting injured. If you're scared of him getting injured in the punt return game, you'd be scared of him getting injured as a wide receiver as well. Now, I am always team no punt returner. As long as you have Patrick Mahomes, I'll be team no punt returner. But if you're drafting him as somebody that's going to add value there, I can't play the season scared of injuries. I just can't. I got to play the season and put my guys out there. I mean... They were playing Jerick McKinnon, who had just come back from a groin injury on special teams. And he hurt his groin again, and he had to have surgery. I'm not saying that was ideal. I wouldn't have done that.
I mean,
but
if Xavier Worthy is nursing a groin injury, maybe not put him back in public.
Exactly.
So you know, it could be lesson learned.
Yeah, maybe each and every time have an individual basis, you know, because he wasn't the punt returner every single time for Texas. He didn't return every single punt for Texas, just as it turned out to be for Tyreek Hill. He wasn't the punt returner every single time, but every once in a while, I was like, all right, let's
put Reek. As a rookie, he pretty much was. So
yeah. That's true. Yeah, and we're talking about specific rookie year, so that is true.
But
as he grew, it was, okay, let's put Reek back there. Let's see what we can do with a big play here. Let's put Tyreek back there. And maybe that's something they'll do with Xavier Worthy as the years go on. But in the first year, if they're looking and going, he's going to create mismatches for us offensively. So putting him on special teams is where you'll get more of a tangible yards value from him early on throughout this year, like a, you know, continuing to make the comparison of that's not fair to him of Tyreek Hill in just the usage of how they utilized him.
I mean, remember, I mean, we're still talking about only one, I mean, actually none, I guess, because Deshaun didn't even do it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, as far as a rookie receiver hitting 1,000 yards. I mean, Rashee Rice didn't do it. And last year, his usage, I mean, some of it was absolutely just forced into duty because other guys weren't performing and they had to play him more than they wanted to and were planning to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's going to be the same thing this year. Because except now if Rashee's punishment doesn't happen until next year and he plays a full 17 games, stays healthy or anything of that nature, same thing with Hollywood. You're hoping to get more production out of him. you know, the idea would be that they wouldn't have to push Worthy into it. But everything I heard last night from Andy Reid and Brett Veach is saying that, you know, I mean, you can kind of see the same type of Tyreek usage. I mean, that he's going to be sprinkled into the offense, but it's going to be part of the rotation. He, you know, hey, Justin Watson will still be part of the rotation. I mean, there's going to be a fifth and maybe a sixth and possibly even a seventh receiver in that room who's going to get some time and going to get some snaps here and there. So it's – and they're still going to run 12 personnel, and he might not be out there for some of those. I mean, he's not going to play, you know, 80% of the snaps. He might play 40% of the snaps on offense as a rookie, which would be a good number for Andy Reid because, I mean, it's a hard offense to pick up. There's a lot of elements. And if you want to play every down for Andy Reid on offense as a receiver, you got to know all three spots.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, if that's the case and the bulk of his work and then and touches ends up being on special teams, that's not a big loss. I mean, that's, to me, that's part of the transition process. And then we've seen it. We've seen it with Tyreek. We saw it with, you know, Hardman. We saw it with Pacheco. You start out on special teams as a rookie. You get your touches on offense when you've got things that you know and you can learn. And then as you pick up more of the offense, your special teams work decreases until it goes away completely.
Weird little, I don't want to say tangent here, but something I noticed is, what does this mean for Kadarius Toney? Because if Worthy is now
You mean one of the folks?
One of the folks.
The other folks?
Again, we heard Brett Veach speak glowingly about him just about a week ago. Obviously, it could be some disconnect of what Veach thinks and what Andy Reid thinks. But again, I think a lot of us thought, well, it's cheaper. You save no money by cutting him, so he's probably going to be here. But now he really doesn't have a role if Worthy is also playing special teams. You're just carrying him for the sake of carrying him. What does this mean for Kadarius Toney?
Well, I mean, to a degree, you don't really have to make a decision until September. I mean, really, until cutdown. I mean, you've got a 90-man roster. You can keep him out there. One of, I would say, three things are most likely. One is, I would guess, just more of the same, which at some point in OTAs or training camp is going to get hurt, and that'll change the equation, and you just have to figure out what will happen after that.
No, if you can just avoid it's the injuries. That's the only issue, according to Brett Veach. It's just if you can figure out the injury issue. As I said with Adam Teicher on Tuesday, I don't remember his hands being injured.
If he stays healthy, then, if he's good enough to play, he's going to make the team, and they'll find a place for him, and maybe he'll share special teams reps. Who knows? Third option, and there's others, but the three most predominant ones to me would be that he stays healthy, he plays well enough that, hey, maybe you're able to flip him for a seventh-round pick. Somebody else is going to take a chance on him. I don't think anybody else is going to take a chance on him for $2.85 million or $9.9 million. And then we haven't ruled it out. I mean, the Chiefs could still, between now and Tuesday, pick up his fifth-year option. So I just wanted to.
I'm glad you winked at me just to make sure I picked up on that.
Can we see what those faces looked like on the stream later? Because I desperately wanted to see your faces when I said that out loud.
You probably could just watch it back later.
You both winked at me today, by the way, which is just I don't know how to take.
You look different as a 30-year-old.
The great thing is that you started laughing and you got angry.
No, I just shook my head. It's like, no, I'm with you. I liked it though.
You look like I had just kicked your dog.
I don't have a dog, so I mean. That would have been like, that look would be, where did they get a dog from?
You look like I had just broken your toilet.
Don't worry, that one was already broken. It was in the kids' room. It's all good. All right, so where do they go tonight? What are the positions? Not even tonight. You know, they've got, you know, a pick tonight. They've got 2/4, a couple of fifths, you know, and other picks. But where do they, what are the positions you think they'll be addressing overall, and then we'll get a thought on tonight?
There's one player in particular that I'm really curious about, and that's Jonathan Brooks. And I am sure are absolutely some people who are freaking out when I say running back in the second round, and one of them is in the room.
I think Briscoe just texted me, punch Matt for me.
Yeah,
it was odd. I don't know why did he just text me. We hadn't even had time to get to his ears with the delays and everything on live radio.
I have my pitchfork ready.
For those wondering, that's a running back, Jonathan Brooks from Texas.
Coming back from an injury.
Well, you know, the thing is, there's such that connection with Sarkisian and Andy Reid and the BYU thing with Texas players. So it would make sense for them to finally draft a Texas player.
Can't get enough of those Texas
players.
You
can just ask Xavier, what do you think about Jonathan Brooks? What do you think of Jonathan Brooks? What if they hated each other, though?
What if it didn't go to his birthday party, like Bo Callahan or
something? See, there you go. That's a great question.
Thank you.
It's a really great question. So keep an eye on Jonathan Brooks.
I'll be interested to see where he goes. So we'll test it out.
I hope he gets drafted early so we don't even have to have this conversation. Yeah, like, I hope he goes early in the second. So like, okay, fine.
Well,
thank you.
Well, Trey Benson's still available.
He gets there like 50. I'll be interested to see what happens after
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Okay, so that's a name to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm still interested in to see how wide receivers, what happens tonight. I'm not sure that the Chiefs are going to go after a receiver, but especially at 64, it's going to be really, really tough for them to get back into the third from 133, because to get there...
Well, they've got next year's third if they needed to do that.
Yeah, but what? But here's the thing. I mean, you know, you go back to like what Brett Veach was talking about on last week. I mean, next year's third is worth more than this year's third. So next year's fifth is more valuable than this year's fifth. So, I mean...
I think it is.
If you look at...
I think people downgrade
it. I don't want to...
The 10% discounts the typical going rate, it feels like.
If I was going, I mean, I was willing to give up anything for Joe Alt for a large degree, but he was the only one. I mean, after that, I don't want to give up any of my 2025 picks, especially now. I mean, it made sense if you wanted to use that third from Tennessee, if you needed to move up into the 20s to get a tackle that you wanted, that would have been prime currency. But now looking at this, yeah, I mean, you could use next year's third, but you know what? It's going to be more than that, because everybody's going to assume that that's number 96. So it's not like you're going to be able to just get that third.
Well, next year's
something else.
Well, I mean, next year's third. If you use the Titans, next year's third. So you
well, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, you wouldn't assume that one was that.
Maybe you don't want to give that one up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it would be nice if you just assume that next year's third rounder was the Chiefs that they would have to trade, which that would be ideal. If you're going to trade one of the third rounders next year, it would be your third rounder next year, because odds are the Titans are going to be worse than you this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could. I mean, but it's just, hey, is there going to be the question, is there a player here that you think is better than what you can get in the third next year? And I'm just not sure that that's going to be the case. So that's why I think it's going to be difficult to get back in.
So what if around 50, something like that, Rowan Gardner from Washington. We've talked a lot about Kingsley Suamataia on the show as whether or not maybe the Chiefs would take him in the first round or trade back and take him. He starts to slide because there were all these tackles that were taken earlier, and the teams that are drafting early in the second round also have taken some of those tackles. Yeah. So those players start to slide. Is that something where the Chiefs may go, all right, it's going to be worth it for us to move up from 64 to 50 because Kingsley should have been gone by 35. We had these tackles that we said after 35 or 40, it was going to be a drop-off, but these are guys that are there. This guy shouldn't be there. And even if it's not Kingsley, hell, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame is still there, like that. You know, Rosengardner from Washington, I mentioned that one, is still there. Another, you know, people like Patrick Paul from Houston that can play left tackle. Yep. If it's something like that, is that something to keep an eye on, that if you start to see the tackle slide, that the Chiefs then may be worth wheeling and dealing at that point?
I'll even throw in Dominic Pooney from their Kansas.
Right around right down the street, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see him as a tackle or more of a guard? More of like a he can fill in a pinch. Like a Willie Bloomquist, but for football.
That would be one of the other fellas, Sterling.
One of the other fellas.
I'm looking at the ever most important thing.
Because he played, I mean, Pooney played guard and center at the Senior Bowl, right? Like, he was mainly interior.
And I know a lot of places have him listed as a guard, some have him listed as a tackle.
But it also doesn't have to be in the second round that they take a tackle. I mean, if they go draft Donovan Smith, because, again, Trey Smith is on his last year. Creed Humphrey is on his last year. They have to figure out who they're going to sign. Joe Tooney is really, really expensive. So it ain't exactly like Tooney, Creed, and Trey Smith are the guys moving forward forever.
And, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, that's
33 and 3/8, by the way. I know you're looking at his arm
exactly
like
what I was
33 and 3/8.
Exactly what I was
looking at. I knew what he was looking at,
too.
He starts going through papers. I go, I'm looking this up for you.
Yeah, I knew that it was what he was looking up, too. I just didn't have it in front of me.
Exactly what I was looking for. But see, that's the thing. I mean, he would be a player that high end would be, hey, maybe he works out of the tackle, even though his arms are a little short. But then again, you're the Chiefs. You also have a need at guard. So if his fallback is that he's a really good guard, that's okay with me. Yeah, I mean, tackles is a huge position that I'd be looking at in the second round to see who falls, where they are. There are, I think, players. Rosengarten's a guy I would move up to go get. I think that the Chiefs are interested in Paul, so I think there's a guy like that where they would be interested. There's a handful, and you know, and Kingsley's obviously been connected to them a lot. If he starts to fall, that could be a possibility. So yeah, I mean, almost any position. I mean, corner could be a position that they look at tonight too. I mean, especially because there's still some good corners.
Yeah,
out there.
I mean, Cooper DeShaun is still there. I mean, the thing, the board was much different than I think a lot of people thought because they didn't expect six quarterbacks to go in the first round. So those quarterbacks going pushes, you know, it just naturally what happens, it pushes everybody else down. So Bo Nix goes in the first round. Okay, that was a surprise. There's one first rounder now that's now in the second round. That would have been gone, you know, et cetera. That's just simply what happens. And so some of those guys are there. I didn't expect Cooper DeJean to be there. A lot of people were upset that I saw a reaction last night that the Chiefs traded up to take Xavier Worthy when they could have taken Cooper DeJean. It's like, wow, you had that guy right there. Why didn't you just take him? There's certainly some value there. Kool-Aid McKinstry and Ennis Rakestraw are guys that if they start to slide, you know, you wonder, you know, what the issue is there or what the view is. Lassiter, if he starts to slide, you know, do the Chiefs, you know, like him a lot? So, you know, how do they view some of the guy in their back, not backyard, but Tampa is at Iowa State, not necessarily your backyard, but somebody around the Big 12 that you would have an area scout that wouldn't have to go far to watch him. So guys like that that you think maybe should be high second rounders or mid second rounders that all of a sudden they're there late. Not necessarily that you're moving up to get him, but you're on the board at 64 and it's like, okay, well, TJ Tampa's here, and we didn't think he would be. So, with our second pick, we're going to take Tampa too.
You know what? I just knew you were.
Sorry.
I knew that was the direction you were going the moment you started laying that out. I mean, that was just.
That was
a lot of work to get there, but I respect it.
That actually wasn't what I was planning on doing. It wasn't until I figured out the second round pick would be Tampa. The other parts were genuine about Lassiter, about Tampa, about Rakestraw. Guys are there. Those first couple. DeJean not going to be there, but Kool-Aid's not going to be close to where they move up, and I don't think Rakestraw will be either. But other guys that if they start to slide, you're like, okay, well, let's keep an eye on this guy.
I'm not going to rule out a bunch of positions for you, so this might just be an absolutely useless statement. But I'd be stunned if the second-round pick isn't defensive line, offensive line, wide receiver, or corner. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I don't think they're going punter either.
Unless it's Jonathan Brooks.
I don't think they're going punter.
Not going punter, not going specialist, not going quarterback, not going linebacker.
Yeah.
The biggest sleeper
safety.
Of all would be safety.
Yeah.
I'm not going safety quite yet.
I don't think I would go safety either.
Were you surprised when they traded up and did not grab Cooper DeDockers? DeLevi's? I'm just going to keep going with different pants.
See, I didn't do that.
DeGap. DeBuckle. DeBuckle. It's DeBuckle.
It's DeBuckle. Yeah, that's fine.
I was a little surprised because I figured he would have been in the 16 to 18 first rounders that Brett Veach has. It felt very Trent McDuffie to me. I'm sitting here going, how has no one taken him? Because even in every single mock draft I think we've done, there has been zero where he's fallen that far. He's top 10, top 15 every single time. And by the way, his comp that everyone keeps throwing out is L'Jarius Sneed. It feels like it would have been a perfect fit. Were you surprised at all?
No, because, I mean, unless you've got somebody like McDuffie that is truly a first-round elite talent that the Chiefs really love to go get, I mean...
And you didn't think Cooper was?
I don't think he's McDuffie, no.
Okay.
No, I don't think he's on that level.
You know, well, the thing is, though, he's really smart. He's a gym rat. He's really sneaky athletic, is Cooper DeJean. Like, he's got that, you know, you don't think of him as an athlete. He's just got that sneaky speed. But, man, he is a first guy there, last one to leave, just so, so smart. Oh, wait, he's a white cornerback. That makes sense. No. Actually, he's an amazing athlete.
Dude's unreal. Five of his interceptions in 2022, three took back to the house.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He had a punt return for a touchdown last year, too.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete.
He can go outside, inside, safety. He's...
But he is mainly a three-point shooter, so you do have to worry about that, that there's not much versatility to his game there.
And maybe the short answer right now is that all these teams went nuts and were taking offense in the first... Drowned, and
point, yeah.
Maybe that's just the defense getting left behind. And I'm sure
it's an arms race that people are trying to catch the Chiefs.
Conventional wisdom would be that after such a run on offense last night, the teams are going to be looking for the value of the defense tonight. So maybe we have 14 in a row defensive picks, but
which could push down some of those tackles.
You know, that was another one of those conversations we had in the workroom last night. Was all these teams going offense? It just kind of ignoring the fact that. Chiefs just won a Super Bowl with their defense.
Yeah.
And going into last night, their last three first-round picks were all defense.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But everybody else is trying to chase them, so.
And they're trying to stay ahead.
Now
they're trying to chase 4-2-1.
So now they're now they're taking third-round quarterbacks, and this is first round at number 12. So.
All right, prediction time, Matt. Throw in a dart. Who do you think they take tonight with their second pick?
I'm going to go out on a limb.
I'm going to circle the name.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks.
There's no real insight on this one. This is just simply...
This is just to make everybody mad.
They want to... clearly, what they feel like that they need to do for the offense to jumpstart it from last year is to get it back to 2018. Mm-hmm. And turn back the clock a little bit. The one thing after you've gotten worthy, the one thing you're now missing is speed in the backfield.
Well, and hey, that's...
Healthy.
Yeah.
He can do it.
I'm with you. And I looked at four different running backs at different levels of the draft. I don't think they're going to take a running back in the second round, so I didn't list Jonathan Brooks. But if they do, then it's sort of along the same lines of thinking that I had. But third rounder, Trey Benson. Fifth rounder, Isaac Garendo from Louisville.
Yeah.
Sixth/seventh rounder, Blake Watson from Memphis. And then the undrafted free agent being Keelan Robinson from Texas. Those are guys that have quickness and speed, that can get to the hole quickly, that can get out in space on a screen game and can turn and immediately run and not turn and look like they're in molasses while they're sort of surveying where to go. And while Isaiah Pacheco looks like he's running fast because he's pounding his legs in the ground, he's not actually running all that fast. So those are guys that have speed and quickness, have the quick 10-second burst, and also have top-end speed, which is what I think the running back room is missing since Damian Williams. Since Jerick McKinnon against the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals a few years ago, since the 13-second game, where what Jerick McKinnon offered them when Edwards-Helaire got injured was, this guy's got quickness and burst that Edwards-Helaire didn't have, and he's getting out in space, and you can see the quick cuts and getting upfield, and McKinnon is slowed, and Pacheco isn't that guy, and Edwards-Helaire isn't that guy, and they still try to run some outside zone stuff, and they still try to get to the edge every once in a while, and it doesn't work, and maybe that's just to keep defenses honest. But to have somebody that actually do those things, I think it's a missing piece of the Chiefs' offense. And so those are guys at every level of the draft. I think maybe you can find somebody that can improve that speed element, which is a great point. When we're talking about the Legion of Zoom that the Chiefs had, they also had a dude that went 90, broke off a 90-yard touchdown against the Vikings because he had difference-making speed in Damian Williams. They don't have that guy right now.
Nope.
So. We'll see. We wrote it down. Jonathan Brooks for the Chiefs going off board, going a little bit different than...
And I don't feel Brian Cook, Nick Bolton levels of confidence
okay.
on this one.
So. Yeah, because the last couple, Nick Bolton, 3 years ago, you said Chiefs are going to draft Nick Bolton tonight. And last year, you said get to know Brian Cook. Or 2 years ago, you said get to know Brian Cook.
Don't have this kind of confidence, but...
Okay.
And if it's not, I mean, in tackle, but obviously in corner, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Receiver, I really don't think it. I mean, there's only a couple of defensive linemen. I mean, like Marshawn Nealon, I think there would be some interest.
And they brought Nealon in
down. Yeah.
For a top 30 visit, so that's a connection there.
But and tackle is interesting because I still think there might used to be some interesting names available in the fourth, mm-hmm. especially the way it's falling. I mean, Javon Foster from Mizzou is probably in the Mendoza line. I'm not sure that Foster would be enough competition for Wanye. So I think at that point you're probably still signing Donovan Smith.
Yeah, I think if there's nobody tonight, then it's Wanye and probably Donovan Smith as your tackles
next
year.
Only if somebody. And once again, I mean, I guess that fourth is late, right?
Yeah.
So it's
the Bills' fourth.
Yeah, it's the Bills' fourth. So it's not like super early on Saturday. So. Even some borderline, you know, if like Kieran Amagaji from Yale that I know Nick's really big on the podcast for us at 41 is the mic, shameless plug. Then
So the fourth round they have the 31st and 33rd pick of the fourth round,
and
which
think,
is 131 and 133.
I think he should go before that, but you know, I mean, it's really, I mean, with the tackles, it's pretty crazy as far as just you know this. Next pocket as far as the divisiveness on it, because there's going to be some boards that are going to have you tell you that Patrick Paul's the best tackle out there remaining.
I
and then there's going to be some others that say he's the 10th.
So Pete Prisco had his mock draft of the Chiefs taking Patrick Paul in the first round at pick 32.
That is just a absolutely universal, continuous streak of Mike Florio wrongness from Pete Prisco.
Big Donovan Smith.
But Pete Prisco did say, when I put out my mock draft, nobody called me to tell me I was wrong. So therefore, I was actually right.
So far, I'm going to check my phone. No one has called to tell me I'm wrong about Jonathan Brooks. So
therefore,
geez.
So if you miss, then you actually aren't wrong, because typically when you miss on something, people will tell you. They won't just laugh at you behind your back.
You don't have to call sources and ask them for information. You just put it in, you just publish it and see if anybody tells you
it's
wrong.
Then your sources will call you.
Yeah.
Come on, Deep Throat will reach out to you. You know,
exactly.
You don't have to search that out.
No.
Matt Derrick, presented by Cap One Lending. Matt, you're the man as always. Appreciate it, brother.
Pleasure, my friends.
Absolutely. There's Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, and also 41 is the Mike podcast. So we let Matt Derrick go, and we go from one of our high draft picks to undrafted free agent. That's a definite drop-off to Mick Schaefer. Coming up. Now, you know what? We go from Matt Derrick to what was that? What was that?
The other folks. So.
Yeah, one of the other folks will be in here coming up next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Everybody's got a powwow in here in the studio. That's okay. You know what? It's Friday. It's the day after the draft.
$5 cover. I was charging everyone $5 to get in.
Dude, heck yes.
I make money.
Well, that's why I guess everyone's leaving now, because they didn't realize there was a cover to this.
Cover charge.
Mick Schaefer paid the cover to get in.
I don't know why. It's 12:44. What time does my 12:30 hit time start here, boys? Okay? Matt Derrick running long.
Today, apparently, 12:45. You sort of said the answer yourself.
There's donuts, so all forgiven.
They got those for you, by the way.
Forgiven.
Yeah.
Who are they for?
They're for you, yeah.
All of them?
Yep. I'll just do like half
yep.
of one.
We learned it from watching you eat donuts. We learned it from watching you. Mick Schaefer is our guest, hanging out with us to the end of the show, presented by Empower Payments, boosting your business and charity with every transaction. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. He is KSHB 41 Sports Director's Mick Schaefer. Mick, was it a late night for you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's always a late night for you. You're usually going to bed about 1 or 2 in the morning, so that's not a big deal for you. But was it a later night than typical?
It was a later
for
night for okay. me. Yeah, we were on the air. We were streaming till about 11:15 because Brett Veach took a long time getting back out. Andy Reid came out pretty
yes.
quick after the pick, and then 15 to 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
Transpired before we saw Veach out there. So we had a streaming show that went on at about 10:35, and we were going to go till we go until Veach got up there, and he finally got up there. And it was good stuff, and glad we waited. And so, but that was still 11:15, and then we did the Zoom with Xavier Worthy after that.
Yeah.
And so that took us to 11:30, and then, you know, getting everything ready for the morning show and ready for the day. I was out of there by about 12:15.
Yeah, I don't judge any of the rookie conference calls or anything like that when they are just drafted. So, you know, there wasn't anything from Xavier Worthy other than
it wasn't Worthy.
No, we didn't. I didn't even save any clips.
I got that. Yeah,
his last name's
Worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
His answer to my question, obviously, I thought was a good one, because I asked him about what's the excitement about all the people around you reaching out, sending you texts. How often are they mentioning Patrick Mahomes' name, and how excited are you to get to play with Patrick Mahomes? He's like, I've been telling people all year long, I'm going to play with Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to be a Chief, and nobody believed me. They said the NFL's not going to let them get you, and they did. And so I thought that was maybe the best sound.
That was a good answer. Not worthy of me saving and playing today, but
sure,
it was.
Sure, but it's close.
But it was,
it maybe,
almost,
maybe Border Patrol would have done, you know.
I had 13
certainly
clips.
Certainly not the highbrow program.
I had 13 picks, and I just couldn't get to 14.
That makes
it
sense.
It was right there. It was the first one on the cutting room floor is really what it was. But no, and I thought if you...
Wait, you didn't play a single clip from Worthy?
Not on the show so far.
Okay.
We played Andy
you
Reid.
You
played
the producer here, or... Dylan's gone. I met Kyle back there, and so is that the reason why?
Yeah, it's
somebody
Kyle.
Should have put a foot in your ass and said, "Hey, you know, play
it's the American
sound from
way."
Xavier Worthy, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, we've got Andy Reid, we got Brett Veach.
Oh yeah, and Andy provided a lot of color.
He, you know what he did?
A lot of big things.
He invited you know what he did? He offered the funniest soundbite of the night.
That was really good.
He offered the
funniest soundbite
of the night.
I was thinking about, I told you earlier, the other guys. I was thinking about Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell when he said, yeah, the other guys.
And the other folks.
The
other folks. He'll be in there in the wide receiver room with Hollywood and Rashee and Kels and the other folks.
The other folks.
What's Kadarius Toney and Justin Watson and Sky Moore, like, you know.
Yeah, that's them. They're firing off a round in the office.
Desk pop.
Kadarius Toney.
Yep, they're desk pop.
Kadarius Toney definitely does the desk pop. Sky Moore.
And he's Gator because he played for Florida.
That's a great
he's
one.
He's Gator.
100%. Did Justin Watson talk Kadarius Toney into a desk pop?
No, I think maybe Sky Moore is the
Sky
peacock.
Moore?
Yeah, let me fly. Yeah.
You know what? He does. He hasn't had an opportunity.
No, he hasn't.
I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly. Come on. Just let me go out there and do the things I'm supposed to do. Come on, Andy. I'm a peacock. I love it. Yeah, that's great. The other guys, the other folks, a little Sky Moore, a little Justin Watson, a little Kadarius Toney activity last night. But yeah, we played some Andy Reid clips, and we heard some different breakdowns of what people thought of Xavier Worthy and the selection by the Chiefs and moving up to draft him. What did you think of the selection of Xavier Worthy?
Well, it's going to be an exciting pick, right? Chiefs fans are going to love this pick. It's a skill position, which is always exciting, and you have a guy that is literally the fastest player in the history of football, right?
Yeah.
The fastest player.
At least without
pads
on.
Was Willie Gault running 40s back in the day, or they've just taking his 100-meter dash time in the Olympics?
Time.
But yeah, and then look, you've got a track team now. I didn't realize till last night that Hollywood Brown was a 4.27.
Yeah,
and that's really fast as well. And if you're the second fastest on the team at a 4.27, then you've got a fast receiving core. So I think Chiefs fans are going to be really excited about it. I think in Veach, everyone trusts at this point. And look, this is a quarterback who can turn. We were talking about last night because people would bring up he's slight of build, he's not this, he's not that. I'm like, yeah, okay, if he was the full package, he would have been the number four.
That's exactly right.
There's going to be flaws in everybody, right? Especially past pick 10 or 15 or whatever. Otherwise, they would be in those first few picks, but they have the quarterback to turn 28th overall pick into looking like a fourth overall pick, right? He turned Rashee Rice into what looked like a first-round pick last year.
Well,
right?
What was the game that Rashee Rice had the catch on the sideline, and then he outran the linebacker to the edge, and then he ran upfield, and he got caught at, like, the 10-yard line. But it was, like, a 50, 60-yard reception. And it was like, oh, man, he got caught. And I'm like, yeah, I wish he didn't get caught either. But if he didn't get caught, he wouldn't have been there at 55.
Yes, exactly.
For the Chiefs to take
so
him.
True. Yeah.
So I'm glad he got caught at the 10-yard line because he was there at pick number 55 for the Chiefs to trade up and get.
So, I'll take 50 yards and first down at the 9.
Yes. Rather than
over not having him.
They took somebody else. Yes. I don't know who else they would have taken. I'm not sure. But he got caught for a reason because he was there at 55.
Well Toney could have made it, but
I'll take
he would
that
have
over going 3 and 14, right? And getting that guy and getting a touchdown and then going 5 and 13 the next year because of that.
Well, that's what I
5 and 12. I still can't do the 17-game math.
You'll get there. You'll get there. It's fine. No, but I had said last night, or maybe it was this morning. I don't know. Maybe it was even on the show. Who knows? But said, yeah, in a perfect world, the Chiefs don't trade up from 32 to 28 to get Xavier Worthy and give up the sixth round equivalent. But they also could have lost in the divisional round and taken him at 28.
Yeah.
Not have to move up. So I'm okay with having to sit there at 32, and then it's like, man, we really want to get our guy. And, if only we were drafting at 28. Yeah, thank God you're not.
I think Nick Jacobs, he gets brought up a lot on the show, but he's into it, man. He's very smart. The 41 is the mic. Co-host with Matt Derrick.
I
don't know if they're co-hosts or one's the main guy, one's the secondary.
Who's the boss?
I know,
on that
right?
One,
who's
yeah.
the boss? But he's like, he goes, this was Brett Veach slaying the Zay Flowers dragon, right? He didn't want to make that mistake again, right? I'm going to go get, if it costs me a little bit more, then it costs me a little bit more. I don't want to see San Francisco grabbing him at 31. And if you really like a guy, we've always said it, go and get it. I just want to figure out, is he 6'1 or 5'11?
He's 5'11.
He's not 6 foot, right? It's one or the other. But last night we were on the set. It was right at the end of our 10 o'clock show whenever they made the pick. And so we're scrambling. We have producers scrambling. We're on our phones. I go immediately to the Texas bio. And Texas bio is 6'1". I'm like, and so we keep talking the whole streaming show. I'm like, listen, this is, and I started questioning myself. I'm like, wait a second. He's 4'2", and he's 6'1", and he could have been drafted like in the second round. Well, what am I missing? And he put up numbers. I mean, he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
He caught touchdowns for a mega program. I'm like, what am I missing? I'm like, okay. Then later, I'm like, okay, he's really 5'11". That's it. But thanks, Texas. You only add 1 inch. That's the rule.
Right.
You don't add two. Nobody adds two. You add 1 inch to the height.
They had him at like 6'1", 178 at Texas. Now at the combine, he was trying to run a 4.21. So he measured 5'11", 165.
He got shorter to run you.
Well, he definitely got lighter.
Yeah.
He definitely lost weight so that he could fly a little bit faster.
I don't think, and just seeing them both play, I've heard the comp to Devontae Smith. I don't see. He's a bigger guy, right? And in that Super Bowl, man, you just watch him up close. You saw just kind of how frail Devontae Smith was. He's not a guy that exactly avoids hits as well.
The body type, but Devontae Smith is a brilliant route runner. Like Devontae Smith was gaining separation at an elite level. Yeah.
DeSean Jackson is I think the correct. And I think Tyreek Hill. You're putting into an unfair.
Than both those guys, and so maybe it's just. Camera angles.
I think it's the spandex pants that he wears at Texas instead of like football pants with pads or whatever.
I watched him torch Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's probably what it is too.
In the Big 12 championship game up close and personal. So he seemed like he was 7 foot tall and bulletproof.
But I do appreciate him really going full on the new football uniform pants to where they stop above the knee, and you don't actually have any pads there. It's just,
because we all know it doesn't hurt at all. Banging your knee into something.
Well, I mean, he's like,
it's fine.
He's like, look, man, if I'm not caught, I can't get hurt. I will say this about, people talk about his toughness, and, he's not a guy that just runs out of bounds. He'll turn up and lower his shoulder. But I'll also add, in the NFL, I would like him to be a guy that runs out of bounds.
You got to make some business decisions.
Yeah, I don't need you to show how tough you are to pick up two more yards. I want you to show how smart you are by getting out of bounds and staying healthy. Okay? Tyreek Hill ran out of bounds all the time, and I loved it. I'm doing my little juke move. Not going to work. I just jump out of bounds. Here we go. All right. Flip the ball to the official. Oh, you want to talk smack about me jumping out of bounds? All good. I'm about to go pick up 30 more yards. That's no big deal because you did not hurt me.
Give me 18, not the 20. I'm cool with it. You pick up the first down. Get OB.
Yes. I don't need you showing how tough you are. Don't do that. Don't turn up. But he did that in college.
Fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Lombardi Trophy on the line. Show us how tough you are.
That's exactly right. Run the quarterback sneak.
That's right.
In overtime on 4th and 1.
Yes.
That's when they'll do the naked bootleg and he'll just run it himself. They won't do the quarterback sneak. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit more of the Kansas City Chiefs as they have another pick tonight.
Maybe one.
Maybe more. We'll find out.